I sought the Lord, and He answered me and delivered me from every fear. Those who look on Him, they are radiant. They'll never be ashamed. They'll never be ashamed. This poor man cried, and He answered me, and He saved me from my enemies. The Son of God surrounds His saints. He will deliver them. He will deliver them.
Magnify the Lord.
The Lord is good. He'll give you everything. He'll give you everything.
Hallelujah. You got to taste the Lord. Someone says, I just don't see what the big fuss is about. You obviously haven't experienced what we've experienced. If you've ever experienced the genuine new birth, been filled with the Holy Ghost, nothing in the world, no allurement, no amount of money, nothing in the world, nothing can compare to Him. Amen. Taste the Lord and see how good He is. Amen. This time we're going to dismiss our children to children's church. All of our children, age 5 to 11. Once again, it's so good to have our school of ministry with us. We need about 10 more sponsors. And let me tell you how this works. If you want to be a sponsor, you shoot me a text. I want to be a sponsor. You can give anything, any amount of money, anytime throughout the 9 months that they're here. You don't have to give a lot. Just give them a little gift, a little gift card, going out to eat, or a little bit of cash or whatever, and you can put it in an envelope. But we don't want the school of ministry to know who you are until graduation. And what we do is we put it in the little metal mailbox right outside of the office in the foyer. It's got a little tag on it that says School of Ministry, and it really helps our School of Ministry get through the year. And you have been so fantastic for the last 2 years doing this, and we didn't expect it to be like it has been. A lot of them have been able to be sustained through the year, eating and just being able to take care of their business. You don't have to give a lot. Don't feel pressured. If you want to do that, please shoot me a text. I'll put your name on the list, and then hopefully by Monday or Tuesday, I will be able to tell you who your sponsor, or who you'll be sponsoring. So thank you for that. Tonight, we're starting our prayer revival tonight at 6 o'clock. Come and expect God to move. Monday night, 7 o'clock. Tuesday night, 7 o'clock. Wednesday night, 7 o'clock. Let's all show up at 7 o'clock. You can leave whenever you need to leave. But we want to pray and see God move. I'm going to be preaching on prayer this morning. If you have your Bibles, if you'll turn to the book of Acts, chapter number 4. Acts chapter number 4, verse number 31. And when they had prayed, the place was shaken where they were assembled together. And they were all filled with the Holy Ghost, and they spake the word with boldness. Let me read that again. And when they had prayed, the place was shaken where they were assembled together. And they were all filled with the Holy Ghost, and they spake the word of God with boldness. Let us pray. Father, again, we thank you that we can come into this sanctuary and worship the Father in spirit and in truth with those of like precious faith. This morning, we've come to worship you, but we've also come to hear the engrafted word of God, which is able to save our souls. The written word of God that is a lamp to our feet and a light unto our path. I pray that you would speak to us, Lord. I don't want this just to be another sermon. I ask you, Lord, to let it be a message straight from the very portals of heaven. Talk to us today. Change us, oh God. We want to be conformed to the image of Christ. I pray that you would do your perfect work by the written word of God and by the power of the Holy Ghost. And Lord, we ask you these things in the mighty name of Jesus. And everyone said, amen. Amen. I want to preach to you on the thought, plugging into the power source of prayer. Prayer is undoubtedly the most powerful force in the world today. There is no bomb that's ever been created by mankind that can equal the mighty force of a kneeling figure who knows how to reach God Almighty. I'm going to tell you today, don't matter what you've seen, how many times you prayed and it hasn't happened, God still is a rewarder of them who diligently seek Him. And there is power in prayer. If we can pray, if we can believe God, if we can trust Him, if we can push through the doubt, the flesh, and all of that junk, and we can just press in and touch the hem of His garment, I'm telling you, God Almighty will answer, because God, He yearns for a people who will pray and seek His face. To think about it, a mere mortal man or woman being able to reach up and to touch Almighty God. A mere man, mortal man or woman being able to talk to the one who created the universe. Think about it today. If I wanted to meet with Greg Abbott, the Texas governor, I can tell you it would be almost impossible today to meet with the Texas governor. But I can meet with somebody who's a whole lot more important than the Texas governor. I can cry out to the one who fashioned the earth with His hands. I can talk to the one who spoke everything into existence, who breathed the breath of life into man, the one who created life and He became a living soul. I'm talking to you today about prayer and getting a hold of God, talking to God and having a relationship with God Almighty. That ought to get us excited today that we can commune with God, not just in the morning time, in the afternoon, in the evening, you can pray without ceasing. You don't just have to be in a prayer position, but you can talk to the Lord wherever you are. I'm telling you, I've cried out to God when I needed Him wherever I was, and it seemed like God just came on the scene because He hears the cry of His people. God is an answer. He answers prayer. It's an honor and a privilege to be able to plug into the power source of prayer. Let me say it like this. If we're going to survive in the last day, if you're going to make it, if you're not going to be one of those that Jesus speaks about in Matthew chapter 24, the very elect that would be, if it were possible, would be deceived in the last day, we have got to stay in the Word of God and in prayer. Listen to me, ladies and gentlemen. The Holy Ghost can bring all things to our remembrance, everything that Christ has said. The Holy Ghost, through prayer, can show us the attack of the enemy before it ever comes. He can warn you. He can teach you. Listen to me. It is impossible to live a Christian life successfully and never read your Bible and never pray. We must pray. We must seek the face of God. If we're going to see miracles, we've got to plug in to the power source of prayer. You won't survive in this last day if you do not pray. Persecution, trials, and tribulation has always been a part of the church, and it always will be. You say, well, I hope that we'll escape the things that are coming on this earth. Listen to me. I don't believe we're going through the great tribulation, but I do believe we're going to go through tribulation. That means we're going to have trials and adversity. Some of you are going through it now. Just because we're in America doesn't mean that God loves us more than He loves people in Africa and Asia. God loves all His children the same. So listen, if we think we're going to escape the things that are coming on this earth, you better think again. Jesus said, in this life, you're going to have tribulation. But then He says, be of good cheer. I have overcome the world. And because Christ has overcome the world, I am going to overcome the world. Ladies and gentlemen, He's already went before us. And if we will stay in Christ, I have a feeling everything's going to be all right. If we pray and seek His face. Jesus said, if they have persecuted me, they will also persecute you. How are we going to survive in this last day? We must pray. You know, many pray, they don't pray until they are shaken. But the first century church prayed to be shaken. Listen to me. We don't just pray to get out of trouble. So many times we save it for a an hour of desperation. If you save your prayers for an hour of desperation, I can tell you more than likely you're not going to see prayers and miracles come to pass. But if you will make it a daily walk, a daily prayer, whenever you're tapped into the power source, listen to me. Listen, in America and around the world, we have to plug into the power source. If I brought a lamp in here, oh, listen, it wouldn't work even if it had a good bulb in it. Only until I plugged it into the power source. You may have all the qualities and abilities, but we can't do anything within ourselves. We need the power of the Holy Ghost, not human ingenuity, not your gifts or abilities. Only by the power of the Spirit of God. God wants to move, but He's waiting on us to plug into Him. God is not going to allow us to get the glory. He's not going to allow you to accomplish it in yourself. He wants us to plug into the power source, and we will see miracles come to pass. In Acts chapter 4, the disciples were creating quite a stir. In our text, it says that they prayed. When they prayed, the place was shaken. But I didn't read all the verses before that. You see, the disciples had been filled with the baptism of the Holy Ghost in Acts chapter 2. And when this happened, they become radicals for Christ. When this happened, Peter stood up. Now, you're talking about a man, Peter, who once denied that he even knew the Lord because he was afraid of death. He was afraid that they were going to do to him what they had done to Jesus and kill him. But when the wind blew through the upper room, when he was baptized in the Holy Ghost, the Bible said that he stood up and he preached on the day of Pentecost, and 5,000 men and women got saved. What would happen to us if we would get the power of the Spirit operating in our life again? Listen, it wasn't because he had a good message lined out. It wasn't because he was a great sermonator. It was because of the power of the Holy Ghost. Listen, when they can refuse you, they cannot refuse him. We need the Spirit of God to cut through the exterior and bring conviction one more time. When 5,000 get saved, I'm telling you, it's going to stir up the religious world in a negative way. Then 3,000 got saved. And in Acts chapter 3, they come by the gate beautiful, and there's a beggar begging for some money. Peter looks at him and says, "Silver and gold have I none, but such as I have, I give unto you. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk." And you know what happened? His feet, the Bible said, his feet and ankle bones received strength, and he began to walk. Let me tell you, there's still a healer. His name is Jesus. But we need faith to believe. We need a prayer closet to tap into the power source. We need the power of the Holy Ghost operating in our lives. We see the next chapter in Acts chapter 4, everywhere they went, they preached Christ. Miracles took place, signs, wonders, and miracles. This was really stirring up the religious world, because Jesus has always been an offense to the religious world. You know, you can talk about God, you can talk about religion, but if you talk about Jesus, you're going to offend somebody. Well, listen, I'm going to say his name on the rooftop. I'm going to shout it upon the rooftop. There is still no other name whereas men can be saved. Only the Christ man, only Jesus. Oh, Jesus said, "I am the way, I am the truth, I am the life. No man enters into the Father but by me." I'm a Jesus man. He is the bridge between heaven and earth. If you don't come by the way of the bloody cross, you ain't getting in. You can't be saved by good works. You can't be saved by a good resume or good family. Coming from a great family. Come on, church. Only way is by the blood of the cross, by Jesus Christ of Nazareth. They were stirring up the religious world because they were preaching this Jesus all day long. Acts chapter 4 and 10. "Be it known unto you and to all the people of Israel that by the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, whom ye crucified, whom God raised from the dead, even by him doth this man stand here before you whole. This is the stone which was set at naught of you builders, which has become the head of the corner. And here's what he says, neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. That made them mad right there. Oh, listen, they begin to have a meeting, the scribes and the Pharisees. What are we going to do? This man is preaching, these men are preaching Christ, and notable miracles are taking place. Listen, wherever you preach Christ and wherever this gospel is declared, signs, wonders, and miracles always follow. I don't care if you preach it in the Buddhist world or the Muslim world, the name of Jesus, blinded eyes are open, deaf ears are unstopped, blind, the dead can be raised. Come on, church, because Jesus and this gospel works. There is power in his name wherever it's preached, wherever you go. I'm telling you, the gospel works in every tongue and in every nation. Oh, listen, they were concerned. Miracles are taking place. What are we going to do? And they begin to conspire. They arrested them for a short time in Acts chapter 4 and 18. And they called them and commanded them not to speak at all nor teach in the name of Jesus. But Peter and John answered and said unto them, whether it be right in the sight of God to hearken unto you more unto God, judge ye. For we cannot but speak the things which we have seen and heard. Listen, we can't keep quiet. It's something shut up in our bones. We can't keep quiet about the never dying love of Christ. Oh, listen, whenever you were once lost, undone, broken, miserable, bound by sin, and he comes in and he changes your life, you won't be able to keep quiet about the love of Almighty God. I'm going to tell you, it gets even worse when you get filled with the Holy Ghost. When you get baptized with the Holy Ghost and with fire, there is truly something shut up in your bones, and you want to tell everybody what Jesus has done for you. It might make people a little upset, a little bit uncomfortable. Go ahead and preach it anyway. Go ahead and tell them about Jesus anyway. And listen, they just kept on doing what they did. They kept preaching. They kept loving the Lord. And the Bible says in Acts 4 and 31, and when they prayed, the place was shaken where they were assembled together, and they were all filled with the Holy Ghost and spake the word of God with boldness. Are you bashful today? Are you a little bit apprehensive sharing the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ? Let me give you the remedy. Get filled with the Holy Ghost. Oh, listen to me. Whenever they got filled, something happened. There was a boldness. There was an unction that came. Listen, we need an unction in this hour. Do you hear what I'm saying? We don't just need words. We don't just need programs. We need an unction from the Holy One of Israel. Prayer is the answer. When we get to that place in prayer and we seek the Lord, God will move. Do you hear what I'm saying? The Bible said when they prayed, the place was shaken. Does that mean it just got stirred up and it was a little bit wild in that prayer meeting? It might have been, but I can tell you this. When the Bible says the place was shaken, it visibly shook under the power of God. I believe the foundation of that building shook. I believe they felt something like an earthquake moving all of a sudden, because whenever people of God will set their face to seek him and they get in one mind and one accord, it is pleasing unto the Lord. And I'm going to tell you, there's no telling what will happen when we begin to pray. I'll never forget a story that I heard Sister Martha Tennyson tell. You've heard me tell the story before. Martha Tennyson, she's a preacher in the Assemblies of God. I think she's around 80 years of age now, maybe 85. She said, I was a little girl up in the mountains, I think Tennessee, wherever she was from. She said, I'll never forget. She said, my mama was a praying woman, full of the Holy Ghost. She said, our house was directly catty-cornered across the street from the church house. She said, I'll never forget. She said, we were having these prayer meetings every day. Every day the people of God begin to get a burden for prayer. She said, every day you could hear somebody in that place or multiple people crying out to the Lord. And she said, my mama was putting clothes out on the line. She had prayed previously and she was at the house, and there was a traveling salesman. And in that day, they would travel from house to house. And she said, Martha said, I was a little girl, and I'll never forget this. That traveling salesman, he came up to my mama. My mama was in the yard and putting clothes on the line. And he said, ma'am, and it startled my mom. And she said, yes, sir. He said, what is that? And she said, what do you mean? He said, what's that over there? She said, that's our church. A prayer meeting's going on. He said, no, ma'am, I'm not talking about the prayer meeting. I'm talking about that on that roof. And she said, I looked over, or her mom looked over, and there was a ball of fire dancing on top of that roof where those people were crying out to the Lord. Her mama, she said, hang on just a minute, sir. She said, Martha, Martha, get over here quick. She said, I want you to be able to see the glory of God manifested in the visible at least one time in your life. And little Martha ran over there and she heard the roar of people seeking the face of God praying. And she said, I saw that ball of fire dancing on top of that roof. Let me tell you today, I believe God wants to manifest himself in the supernatural. He's a supernatural God, but he's waiting on us to pray. He's waiting on us to get a hold of the horns of the altar and make up our mind we're not going to let him go until he blesses us. We got to get a Jacob spirit. We got to get a tenacity. We got to get a bulldog grip on the things of the spirit and make up our mind we're going to get a hold of God and we are going to get an answer. What if we seek our face to seek the Lord, set our face to seek the Lord? What would God do for us? Listen to me this morning. If we're going to reach our world for Christ, we must plug in to the power source of prayer. If we are going to see our families delivered, we must plug in to the power source of prayer. If you're going to see cancer fall off and be healed, we must plug in to the power source of prayer. Listen, it still works, church. It still works. God is still a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. So many in the church world are well taught in theology and in doctrine and in organization. Nothing wrong with that. But we become illiterates when it comes to the school of prayer. We know all the things about God. Listen, you can know everything about God and not know him intimately. Jesus said in the last day, many will come in the last day and say, Lord, Lord, we've cast out devils. We've healed the sick. We've done many wonderful works in your name. Jesus said, I will profess unto them that day, depart from me, ye workers of iniquity. I never knew you. What was he saying? You took all the gifts, but you left the giver. Listen, I don't care if you can work miracles. I don't care if you're gifted. Listen, we've got to make sure that we have an intimate walk with him at an old-fashioned altar. That's all that really matters. Listen, it doesn't matter if you work miracles. All that really matters is that you're right with Jesus when you die or the rapture of the church takes place. What is the most important thing in this life? The most important thing is that I stay right. I am right. I stay right. In that place, ready for the Lord Jesus us to come back. It all happens through prayer. It's time to get back to the basics. I said it's time to get back to the basics. The basics, the fundamental things. Brother Matt, it just seems so simple. It just seems so elementary. It is simple and elementary. The old weapons still work. The basic fundamentals of just knowing him. I've talked to preachers. I've talked to ministers in the mission field, pastors, evangelists. Maybe their church got so big, or maybe their ministry was so widespread, and they had to come to a place where they just sat down somewhere for a while, pulled back from the ministry, and fell in love with Jesus one more time. Listen, church, yes, we are to be about the Father's business. Yes, we are to work. Yes, we are to labor in the kingdom of God, but not in the place of our intimate walk with the Lord. It's first and foremost with him. Brother Shambach said many years ago, he said, I was preaching three times a day in a tent revival. And he said it happened for several days to the point where he gave up his prayer time. And he said, I heard an audible voice in the night after a night service. And the Lord said to him, you're spending too much time with the people and not enough time with me. What was he saying? Before long, yes, you're being used of me, but before long, I'm going to withdraw myself because if you unplug the plug to the power source, the power's gone. The influence is gone. The effectiveness is gone. Yes, it may work for a little while, but there will come a time where you are powerless. It was F.B. Meyer who said this, the greatest tragedy of life is not unanswered prayer, but unoffered prayer. We just don't pray. We don't offer it. We don't ask specifically. Instead of it being something we do every day, praying that is, like breathing and eating and walking and talking, it seems to have become like that little glass cover box on the wall that says, break in case of an emergency. Oh, we better pray now. No, you should have already been praying. If you had been praying, your faith would be in a place whenever you're faced with that circumstance. Either God will give you enough grace to get through that thing, and then whatever will come, whatever comes, let it come. Or he'll have give you enough faith at that moment that you can believe and turn that whole thing around. But you can't break the box only in an emergency. You got to be praying right now. We better build that altar right now because hell's coming on the church, coming against the church in this last day like we've never seen before. And if we will pray, God will move. I heard a story the other day of a man who encountered a bit of trouble while he was flying his little airplane. He called the control tower and said, pilot to tower. I'm 300 miles from the airport, 600 feet above ground, and I'm out of fuel. Here's what the man responded. I'm descending rapidly. Please advise. Over. Tower to pilot. The dispatcher began. Repeat after me. Our Father, which art in heaven. Listen, there comes a time whenever things get real bad that you had not better break the box right then. No, we had already had been breaking the box, already been at the feet of Jesus, already been talking to him, getting that prayer wheel turning that keeps the fire burning. We say, Lord, let the fire come. Let it continue in my soul. Listen, it only comes when that prayer wheel's a turning. It keeps the old-fashioned fire a burning. Listen, church, it's time this hour, today, that we make up our mind. We're going to build an altar again. We're going to pray. It was John Bunyan who said, a Christian man is a praying man. Let me say it again. A Christian man is a praying man. Listen, it is no other way. You cannot skip the altar and skip the word of God and just get to Sunday every Sunday morning and Sunday night and think you're okay. You'll not live in victory. One of the great misconceptions of Christianity is this. Since I'm a child of God, God's just going to take care of me. That's a misconception. I said it last week that God does not respond to need. He only responds to faith. I gave you many examples in the Word of God. God doesn't respond to need. Everywhere he went, there were needs everywhere. But it was only whenever he felt the touch of faith. It was only when he heard the cry of faith did he respond. Listen, God does not respond to need. He responds to faith. And I'm going to just attach something else to that. God doesn't respond to us because we are his child. He only responds when we cry out in prayer. Listen, God wants us to pray. It was John Wesley who said these words, nothing happens but in answer to prayer. Nothing happens but in answer to prayer. It was by prayer that God shut the mouth of the lions whenever Daniel was about to be eaten alive. It was by prayer that the three Hebrew boys did not die when they were cast into the fiery furnace. It was by prayer that fire came down and consumed the sacrifice in 1 Kings chapter 18. It was by prayer that God sent an angel to get Peter out of the prison cell when he was about to be executed the next day. Listen to me. It's by prayer God's going to answer. It's by prayer he's going to save your family. It's by prayer that he's going to heal your body. It's by prayer that he's going to fill you with the Holy Ghost. It's by prayer that he's going to preserve us and keep us until the end times. We must pray and then pray again and learn how to pray again. Nothing happens but in answer to prayer. It's time that we start getting a little bit more specific in our praying. I dealt with this last week. Specific praying, purposeful praying. We don't just say general prayers. No, we tell the Lord what we need. Oh, we come to him in boldness. We come boldly into the throne of grace, but we also come very humbly. Oh, Lord, I need your help. I cannot make it without you. Lord, if you don't show up, we are in trouble today. Yes, we must come to him with boldness and in humility, but nothing happens outside of prayer. Let our prayers become specific as we plug into the power source of prayer. Prayer is the key element to intimacy. Prayer is the key element to intimacy. Here's what I tell people all the time. Salvation in being saved, we come to him as the Spirit of God convicts us. We confess with our mouth, believe in our heart that God hath raised Jesus from the dead. We repent of our sins. We turn from our sins. And then we begin to walk with Christ. Brother Matt, how do I stay saved? Listen, I am saved. I'm being saved. And I'm going to be saved. It is a process. Listen, just because you got saved one time doesn't secure your walk with God forever. We don't believe in once saved, always saved. I've heard all kind of garbage out there that you may be a homosexual, but you got saved as a child. You're still going to heaven. That's a lie out of hell. You can just kill whoever you want to kill. And as long as you got saved, you're going to enter into the portals of glory. Listen to me. That's a lie, ladies and gentlemen. I am saved. I'm being saved. And I'm going to be saved. But I've got to keep myself in the love of God. There's something that I've got to do. I can't save myself. It's not because of my own righteousness. They are filthy rags. But it's him. And I've got to stay plugged into Christ. In John chapter 15, it was Jesus who said these words. I'm the vine, you're the branches. Oh, listen, anytime that a branch ever ceases to abide in the vine, that branch is withered, it dies, and the angels come and cast that branch into the fire, those branches into the fire. There is no such thing as once in the vine, always in the vine. So, preacher, what are you trying to say? I'm saying just stay in the vine. Just stay in Jesus. You can't save yourself. You can't stop doing all the things you have to stop doing, but if you'll stay in Jesus, there is a life source that flows from the vine to the branches and fruit begins to grow. There's power from that vine to the branches. Listen, if we abide in him and his words abide in us, we can ask what we will and we will be done. But we got to plug in to the power source of prayer. Get plugged in. Get plugged in. I can't do this and I just feel so weak and I failed so many times. I got your answer. Plug into the power source. Oh, listen, you say, well, I just don't think I'm going to overcome all those things. There's so many in the church that are overcomers. I can tell when they worship. I can tell in their testimonies. How did they get delivered from pornography and alcohol and a lying, jealous spirit? I'll tell you how. It didn't happen because of their own strength. It happened when they got plugged in to the life source of God. And I can tell you, God is the one who does the work. Prayer is to the spiritual man what breathing is to the natural man. When you inhale, I've heard it said like this. It's a great analogy. Inhale. It's like you're allowing God to talk to you. There's a talking when you pray, an exhale, and an inhale. Sometimes you just got to stop and listen. So many times when we pray, we do all the talking. Gimme, gimme, gimme. My name's Jimmy. Oh, Lord, I want this, and Lord, give me that. Can you give me a new car, Lord? Can you fix? Listen, God wants to take care of us. Yes, God wants to meet our financial needs. God cares about the little things, but let him talk to you. Let him whisper in your ear. Listen, the Holy Ghost, he'll bring the word to you. Sometimes God just speaks to me through his word, the remembrance of the Holy Ghost. Sometimes we just need to sit still and just wait on the Lord, and he'll say something to you. Come on, church. I don't want to. You ever been around them people who do all the talking? Or when you talk, instead of answering what you just said, you can tell they were thinking the whole time what they were going to say, and right when they get a breath, you didn't finish, they just start telling you something else. I'm like, well, you didn't hear a thing I said, did you? That's how we do oftentimes with God. He wants to talk to us. Oh, are you guilty of doing that? I'm going to stop right there and just say that. Are you guilty of doing that? Not listening, but thinking about what you're going to say. I could preach a whole message on that, but I'll get off. I'll take a rabbit trail. I'm not going to do that. Prayer is to the spiritual man what breathing is to the natural man. One of the first signs that we look for to see if someone is alive or not is, well, we know that if they have a pulse, that's probably the first thing. The next thing is, are they breathing? If they're not breathing, I've always been taught they're dead. Amen? I know I'm just a country boy, and I don't know a whole lot, but I know that. And I can tell you this, it's the same way in the spirit world. If you stop praying, there'll come a time that you'll be a walking dead man, a walking dead woman, and you won't even know it. You'll be alive in the flesh, but you'll be dead in the spirit. Listen, we must pray. If you want to be alive, if you want the joy of the Lord, oh, listen, Brother Matt, I just don't have the joy I used to have. I can tell you what you've done. You have forsaken the altar of God. You have forsaken that word of God because it is life. Listen, there are trials and tribulations for all of us. I don't care if you're the greatest Christian full of God's spirit, you're going to go through trials and tribulations. But in the midst of it all, if you have been with him, there is a life, there is a joy, there is an expectation that everything's going to be all right in the end because God holds my future. Leonard Ravenhill said, as poverty stricken as the church is, she is still most stricken in the place of prayer. He said, we have organizers, but few agonizers. We have players and payers, but few prayers. Many singers, but few clingers. Lots of pastors, but few wrestlers. Many fears, few tears. Much fashion, little passion. Many interferers, few intercessors. Many riders, but few fighters. Then he goes on to say, when we fail in the area of prayer, we fail everywhere. Come on, church. I have forsaken the altar just like you have different times in my life. And I can tell you, my day is not near as good when I didn't start it out seeking the face of God. You say, well, I don't have prayer. I can tell you, if you'll make it the very first part of your day will be different. If you'll give God the first fruits, not just of your finances, but of your time, I can tell you everything in that day will be different. You will have a joy throughout the day. You'll have a peace throughout the day. Listen, you won't even lose your temper as much. You won't even have road rage when you start praying in the morning time, when you give him the first part of your day. So why don't we pray? I'll tell you why we don't pray. I could give you a list of reasons why I think that we don't pray. But I can tell you, it all comes back down to this right here. The flesh hates to pray. The spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak. We will make every excuse, not even verbally, but in our mind, why we don't pray. We know it in our conscience that we need to pray. We know that we have put every single thing over prayer. We procrastinate. We say, tomorrow, tomorrow, tomorrow. I saw a sign the other day that said, free ice cream tomorrow. Man, I got excited. I'm like, man, I bring the whole family up there. When you come up there, guess what the same sign said? Free ice cream tomorrow. I I'll do it tomorrow, tomorrow, tomorrow. Tomorrow is the favorite word of a fool. Listen, procrastinate tomorrow, tomorrow. I'm going to change it tomorrow. I'm going to get it right tomorrow. What about today? Well, listen, today is the first day of the rest of your life. If you're really going to make a change in your life, you got to have that thought today as the Holy Ghost begins to convict you and say, today is the day I'm going to change it. And you make up your mind when you repent at an altar today, then you begin to make plans. What am I going to do? I'll tell you what you do. You go back home and you build that altar. We don't pray because the flesh hates to pray. Anything can distract us. I'm telling you, when you get down to pray, you can think of everything you need to do that day. And you start praying. You're thinking, man, I forgot to pay the AT&T bill. Oh, man. And all of a sudden your phone rings and you get a text message and you're starting to, listen, you've got to be on purpose. You got to turn that phone off. You got to push it aside and you got to focus in on the Lord. It is warfare. It is powerful. And listen, every devil in hell wants to distract us from that altar. He's going to get the kids will start crying. The grandkids, the kids will bring your grandkids over and distract your prayer time. Why don't you tell your kids, listen, don't bring the little hoodlums over here until I pray. My pastor used to say, he said, man, there ain't nothing like when I see them grandkids come. The headlights, them little angels, they get out. He said, but it's far much better whenever I see the taillights of them little devils leaving. Listen to me. I know grandkids are awesome, but don't let that grandchild take your prayer time. Listen, we need to build an altar. We need to seek the face of God. We must not be distracted. The devil and his demonic forces are assigned to attack prayer warriors. Satan will target prayer warriors. He will target them physically, mentally, emotionally, spiritually. He will target their families. Oh, Brother Matt, I don't want to be a prayer warrior then. He's going to target you too. But he targets that soldier of the cross. It makes a difference in eternity with distractions. He targets us. Listen, the word principality and powers in Ephesians chapter 6. We wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities and powers. Principality is where we get our English word architect. It's a highly intelligent spiritual being that plans our demise. He is a highly intelligent being, and he's smarter than any man is in the natural, but we got the Holy Ghost, amen? And we're not ignorant to the devil's devices. You can't allow the enemy to distract you from your prayer closet, or in other words, that war room where you do war on your knees when you're pushing back the forces of hell. Come on, church. I'm telling you, the devil don't want you to go to that 7 o'clock, 6 o'clock, 5 o'clock, 8 a.m. prayer meeting. Why? Because he knows that when you do, you take away his influence. You push him back. He knows that. So what is he going to do? He'll allow every little thing to come your way and you don't even know what's going on. I can tell you what it is. He's trying to distract you. We got to get our minds made up. We got to get focused on the altar and we got to seek the face of Almighty God, and then we're going to begin to see miracles take place. Luke chapter 18 and 1 tells a very important story when it comes to prayer. It's dealing with the persistent widow. 18 and 1, and he spake a parable unto them to this end, that men ought to always to pray and not to faint, saying, there was a city, in a city a judge who feared not God, neither regarded man. There was a widow in that city, and she came unto him, saying, avenge me of mine adversary. And he would not for a while, but afterward he said within himself, though I fear not God, nor regard man, yet because this widow troubleth me, I will avenge her, lest by her continual coming she weary me. And the Lord said, hear what the unjust judge saith, and shall not God avenge his own elect, which cried day and night unto him, though he bear long with him. Verse 8, I tell you that he will avenge them speedily. Nevertheless, when the Son of Man cometh, shall he find faith on the earth? The persistent widow, what's going on here? She's not getting her answer from a judge that does not fear man or God. But the principle Jesus is saying, works in the natural and it works in the spiritual. She kept coming. Judge, this I have an enemy out here. I want you to help me with this guy. I mean, or this gal, whoever it was. I want you to avenge me. Help me. Help me, judge. That judge didn't care about her. He didn't care about God. He didn't fear anybody. And he wasn't going to, he ignored her. But because of her persistency, she kept on coming. And it began to weary him. Listen, what works in the physical, the Bible, this is the words of Christ himself. It works in the spiritual. And if you will come to God continuously, you don't get an answer, come again. If you knock and he doesn't answer the door, keep on knocking. Keep on making your petitions known. Don't you ever accuse God falsely of not wanting to answer and hear your prayer. God hears. Come again. Lord, will you save my dad? He's getting meaner. The more you pray, the meaner he gets. Will you save my wife, Lord? She stops ironing your clothes. Stops cooking. She starts burning the meals. Just keep coming. Lord, save my children. Oftentimes, they'll get worse before they get better. I told my mom, I said, I'll be 21 in a few months. I'm going to hit every bar in East Texas. She said, no, you're not, son. You're going to get saved before you turn 21. I just laughed at her. But guess what? I got saved just a few weeks later. The Holy Ghost convicted me and I got saved. Let me tell you why. Because she kept on coming to the Lord. Oh, she didn't get an answer the first time or the second time, maybe even the 100th time. But she was persistent and she didn't give up. Some of you have stopped one day short of the miracle. God was already going to give you the miracle if you had kept coming to him, but you gave up. Well, it's time to put your war clothes back on. It's time to get back in that altar. It's time to begin to seek the face of God again. God wants to answer your cry, but you must be persistent. Harvest Time Church, don't let anything take your miracle. Don't give up one day short of the miracle. George Mueller, known as one of the greatest prayer warriors of all times, had this to say about persistence in prayer. It is a common temptation of Satan to make us give up the reading of the word and prayer when our enjoyment is gone. As if it were of no use to read the scriptures when we do not enjoy them. And as if it were no use to pray when we have no spirit of prayer. The truth is that in order to enjoy the word, we ought to continue to read the word. And the way to obtain a spirit of prayer is to continue praying. The less we read the word of God, the less we desire to read the word of God. The less we pray, the less we desire to pray. Listen to me. It's a simple principle. You got to get back. Sometimes it's hard to press through that old flesh and to make up that mind. Oh, you say, well, and you have that uncomfortable feeling. Oh, because that flesh don't want it. I can tell you, if you're thinking that right now, oh, man, I'll just fall back in the same place. I always fail. And that lethargy, that spiritual lethargy or complacency, you got to push that stuff out of your mind. And you got to press through and get to that altar. And whenever you begin to pray, you will want to pray again. And whenever you get back in the word of God, you will hunger for the word of God again. That is the principle, ladies and gentlemen. It's time to get plugged into the power source again. God wants to move, but he's waiting on you and I to do our part. Every promise in the book has a condition that must be met by you and I to get the promise. If we will pray, he will answer, but he's waiting on us. Can someone come to the piano? No man or woman is greater than their prayer life. No man or woman is greater than their prayer life. What's the greatest need in the church today? Intercessory prayer warriors. That's the greatest need in the church right now. Not more preachers, not more teachers, not more singers, not more choir members. Intercessory prayer warriors. That's the greatest need. That's the most powerful need. Ministry in the church today. Let me show you how it works by intercessory prayer by looking at a story in the Old Testament. It's found in Exodus chapter 17 and verse 8. Then came Amalek and fought with Israel at Rephidim. And Moses said unto Joshua, choose us out men and go out and fight with Amalek tomorrow, and I will stand on the top of the hill with the rod of God in my hand. Now the rod represented the power of God. So Joshua did as Moses had said unto him and fought with Amalek. And Moses and Aaron and Hur went up to the top of the hill. And it came to pass when Moses held up his hand that Israel prevailed. And when he let down his hand, Amalek prevailed. But Moses' hands were heavy, and they took a stone, put it under him, and he sat thereon, and Aaron and Hur stayed up his hands, the one on one side, the other on the other side. And his hands were steady until the going down of the sun. Verse 13, and Joshua discomfited Amalek. That means he just whooped up all over him. And his people with the edge of the sword. Here it is right here. The holding up the rod is a picture of total dependence upon God. You know that rod represented the power of God. He stretched it out over the Red Sea and it parted. He threw it down in Pharaoh's court and it became a snake. The Egyptians, the magicians, threw theirs down and theirs became snakes. Oh man, the devil's got power. God's got more power. Moses' rod that turned into a snake swallowed up the devil, swallowed up those snakes. That rod represented the power of God. So whenever Moses held it up high, it represented dependence upon God. It represented intercessory prayer. It represented that little grandma in the wheelchair. It represented that little girl that's 7 or 8, 9, 10 years old when she's praying and she's seeking the Lord. It's the rod of God. And there came a time during the battle that it got long and heated, and Moses, representing the intercessor, began to get weary. We all get weary, don't we? I get weary. I get distracted. He's praying, and while his rod is up, representing intercessory prayer, Israel's defeating, winning the battle against Amalek. But because his arms got weary and they began to come down, the prayer stopped. Amalek started to win the battle. Very simple principle. So what happened? Aaron and Hur, they're standing right there beside Moses. They say, whoa, we got to help him. They begin to join in with him in prayer by holding up his arms and holding up the rod of God. It's a picture of unity in prayer, strengthening one another. Listen to me. One can put 1,000 to flight, but two can put 10,000 to flight. There's something about unity in prayer. And as they begin to help Moses, one on one side and one on the other, hold up his arms as he's holding up the rod of God, the dependence of God, the intercessory prayer, that man or woman seeking the face of God, they discomfited Amalek and they won the battle. How many battles have we lost? I'm not saying you had to pray 24 hours, 365, but I'm talking to you about continuously having a prayer life, seeking the face of God. How many battles have we lost in this life because we went weeks or months without praying? We might pray over the food. I'm not talking about that garbage. There's nothing wrong with that. We need to pray over the food. I'm talking about seeking the face of Almighty God. How many battles have we lost because the enemy prevailed over us because we don't pray? It's that simple. I don't want this to condemn you. I want this to convict you. Can we stand? This is not about, don't let the devil jump on your shoulder and say it's all your fault. You know something? There's a lot of things that are my fault. A lot of things I can't go back and change. I don't sit there and mull over them. I just don't. I'm too busy for that mess. I'm not going to sit on and think about all the mistakes I've made. I've made a lot of mistakes. I repent and I meditate on it and I ask the Lord, teach me not to do that again. Help me to learn from my mistakes. Am I the only one that makes a lot of mistakes and have to learn from my own mistakes? Don't stress out and worry and condemn yourself over what you haven't done and your prayerlessness. Paul, the apostle, said, this one thing I do, one thing, he's putting a real zero focus in on this. This one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind, I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. I press. What about what you did yesterday? Don't worry about that. Repent of it. If it's sin, if it's a mistake, just move on. Don't learn from it. Establish it, solidify it in your mind, but don't mull over it. Don't worry about the past. It's time to move on. The blood cleanses. Don't ever allow the enemy to tell you that the blood of Jesus doesn't cleanse your sins when you've repented and you've turned from them, because it does. It washes, it cleanses, it makes you brand new. It's time to make up our mind. We're going to fight a new battle. We're going to get in the war room and we're going to begin to seek the face of Almighty God. I close with this. It's a picture of prayer. Moses, when his hands were up in the air, the battle was won from the Israelites. When his hands went down, Amalek defeated the Israelites. Please don't ever lose this picture in your mind. Please don't ever lose this picture. Sister Maggie is not here today. She needs prayer. I know she's going through it. She is 90 years old. If it wasn't for Maggie Daniels, I would not be in this church. My mom and Sister Maggie and Sister Dowdy praying for me. I was a ruthless sinner. That woman prayed for me, and I was getting worse and worse and worse. She, you know the story. She showed up at my front door. I still remember it. Like, I don't remember everything back then, but I still remember. I came with my shirt off and a pair of shorts on. And I had a cup of Folgers instant coffee. I'll never forget it. And this has been 25, 26 years ago. Here's what she said to me. Matt, the Holy Ghost showed me what you did last night. She began to tell me what I had done. And I was like, oh my goodness. This woman's full of the Holy Ghost. Get away from me. Listen to me. They prayed. They pushed back the powers of hell when I should have been dead. I mean, the things that I was involved in, I should have been dead. But somebody held up the rod of God and pushed back the enemy. And God, the Holy Ghost, convicted me. And I'm telling you, I've become a miserable man because somebody plugged in to the power source of prayer. It works. It works. I close with this. I told the young people, the school ministry students, you've heard me say this before, Acts. A-A-C-T-S. Four areas when you pray. First of all, adoration, worship. Why were we created? We were created for worship. When you come, that's one of your categories. And however long you do that, that's part of your prayer time. You worship God. You adore Him. We were created to magnify, to glorify, to worship the Lamb that was slain before the foundation of the world. It needs to be a part. Listen, you can just go through these categories. Worship the Lord. C, confession, repentance. Confession. You'd talk to the Lord. Lord, if you have failed Him, if there's any sin in that life, 1 John 1:9, if we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. How can God be so good and be so forgiving? I don't know. I'm not like that, but God is. So if you confess it, come down to that altar, repent of it, He will cleanse you. T, thanksgiving. Begin to tell the Lord how thankful you are for everything that He's done. Lord, don't complain. Just tell Him about all the good things. Lord, another day on top of the earth is better than 5 days underneath it. Amen? I got that from Brother Slider. I got that from Jess and Beth's daddy. One day on top of the ground is better than 5 days underneath it. I'm married to a good woman, got good children, awesome church family. I'm healthy as far as I know. I'm not insane yet. Praise God. I woke up with a right mind. Thank God. I got something to praise Him over. I got something to thank God over. Listen, I don't have a sad song to sing. I've got a song of thanksgiving. Lord, listen, if you start your day off with thanksgiving and praise, God, you've been good to me. I'm telling you, it'll give you doodads on top of doodads. That's chill bumps on top of chill bumps. You'll feel good all over more than anywhere else in your whole body. Number the last one, S, acts, A-C-T-S, supplication. That's when we make our request known unto the Lord. Lord, will you help me? Lord, will you save my children? Lord, will you change this financial situation? Will you make a way where there seems to be no way? A, adoration, worship. C, confession, repentance. T, thanksgiving. And S, what was S? Supplication. Remember that when you come into prayer. We're going to be starting prayer tonight. We're going to come together, and the Holy Ghost is going to move in our midst. He's going to answer our cry. I'm going to tell you, we had somebody baptized in the Holy Ghost Wednesday night. Did y'all, those of you that were here, if you weren't here, you missed it. You need to watch the Facebook page. I'm telling you, the Spirit of the living God came in this place and worked in a mighty way. And there's no telling what He did on the Wednesday night service. And there's no telling what He's going to do in this prayer service. But you can't just be somebody that is associated with the church. You got to get in this prayer revival and pray and seek the face of God. Can we come and stand around this altar this morning? We're going to lift our hands and we're going to ask the Lord to give us strength to put down this old flesh. The spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is so weak. It's crafty. Let me say that again. That old flesh is crafty. Woo! It'll trick you. It's crafty. It'll say, after this, you can do this. Or do it over here this time. Guess what? 19 times out of 20. How about, let's do a different percentage. 29 times out of 30, you never do it. It's a trick. The flesh is so crafty. That flesh, it will play tricks on you. It will get you to procrastinate another time, another hour. Tomorrow becomes tomorrow. Tomorrow becomes tomorrow. And then another tomorrow, then another tomorrow. And Amalek, the demonic forces of hell, comes against our family, comes against our life, comes against this nation, comes against pastors all over this country, comes against families. Amalek is prevailing because we've let down the rod of intercessory prayer. Don't let the enemy condemn you. It's time to change. Make up our mind today. Years ago, Joshua Hamby, where's Joshua at? Raise your hand, Joshua. Josiah, I called him Joshua the other day. He said, I'll answer to anything when you call me for lunch. About 14, 15 years ago, we were at a School of Christ convention in Denham Springs, and your daddy preached on prayer. Man, it convicted my heart. I was like, I think I've been forsaking the altar a little bit. Got back, got in that Frito-Lay truck. Holy Ghost convicted me. I'm gathering my order together. I'm like, oh my Lord, I'm miserable. I opened up them boxes, put them in that floor, and I fell to my face. And I'm going to tell you, God restored my prayer life. We got to make up our mind. What are we going to do? Do you believe? Do you believe? It's time. Lift your hands to heaven, Father. Lord, we want to pray. Help us to put down this old carnal flesh. Oh, God, we have failed you. We have failed you and forsaken the altar so many times. But this morning, we're coming to you asking you to forgive us. Just ask the Lord, church. Ask Him to forgive you for forsaking that altar, and He will. Lord, I'm asking you to forgive us as a congregation. We've depended on the arm of flesh. We've depended on ourselves. But today, we're crying out to you to forgive us. Help us, oh God. Help us, oh God, to put down this old flesh. to not be ignorant to the devil's devices or the trickery or the wiles of our own carnal mind. Help us, Holy Ghost, to see what you want us to do. Lord, to make up our mind, we're going to set that prayer time. We're going to set our face like a flint toward you, oh God. We're going to pray until we see the answer come. Lord, I'm asking you to create a longing and a desire for the church of the living God to pray again. Oh, Lamb of God, so rich and pure. We want you, Lord, and the only way is at an altar. Come on, church, ask him to empower you, to strengthen you, to develop that intimate walk with him again. He'll do it again, church. He'll do it again. He's merciful. He's gracious. He's forgiving.
I know it's a direct line to the throne room.
Prayer you can pray than this. Lord, stir me back to the altar. Lord, forgive me for my prayerlessness. Make me a man or woman of prayer. You're talking about the perfect will of God in your praying. That is the perfect will of God in your praying. That is in line with the perfect will of God. Lord, forgive me. Make me a man or woman of God of prayer. Hallelujah. Sing it again. Oh, yes. Oh.